on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
For another opportunity to catch up with Glenn Lutyens. Glenn with Focus on the Family. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist on the Focus Counseling team for close to 30 years.
It's 30 now.
It is just this past week.
30.
All right. Well, I tell you, you got me beat. I just celebrated 28 years with this ministry. Last week is when we mark it. It's funny because over the years, different HR, it was actually November of last year. But Glenn, one of the other things I always catch in your bio, you know, here we are headed into week one of the playoffs, and and no pressure for you.
Yeah, that's right. We're looking forward. We're not looking back.
but a better draft pick than my team will get next year.
Yeah, probably.
And maybe, you know, we can work that into what we're talking about. Maybe it's a good way to decompress after the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know, with the new year, it's you know, for so many a time for hope and new beginnings. My wife and I are both behaving when it comes to what we're putting in our bodies. hopefully a lifestyle change rather than a short, and we can again apply that towards maybe some of what we're talking about today. But you know, why do you feel like January is a time where we seem to address a lot of these various issues?
Well, I think a lot of times with the Christmas, you know, I think we used to, or at least I used to think of Christmas as a day. It really is a month, and it really has a lot of pieces to it, celebration parties, things of that nature. And to some degree, during that time, not only do we increase our busyness, but we also increase our stress. So sometimes things get pushed into January that maybe would be wiser to deal with kind of at the time or closer to the time in which they're really taking place.
Yeah, I have to admit there was a few times in December when I was talking to people. And actually, I kind of almost assumed sometimes, or maybe I shouldn't have, or say, hey, would it be better if I just reach out to you after the holidays?
Right.
You know, and that's probably, and we probably almost enable each other to put things off. So now as all of these things come to fruition, like, okay, we're after the holidays and here's that list of stuff that I said I would get done. It's also probably a chance to, you know, get some stuff in order you know, there's got to be a sense of fulfillment in getting some of this stuff done, but it, you know, the stress is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's looking at it, hopefully looking at it from the vantage point of it was a new start and a new opportunity. I mean, in friendships and in work situations, in marriage, but in each way in which we can look at it from a new vantage point and really take some proactive steps and develop some good rhythms as the new year and this year, 2025, has approached us.
You know, Glenn, how damaging can it be as we're in the holidays and there's all these conflicts, whether it's over politics or religion or other things that have, you know, dynamics in the family that we just kind of maybe in the holiday, hey, look, let's not address this. It's the holidays. How damaging can that be? You know, I guess there's probably pros and cons there, aren't there?
I think it depends on the severity of something. I mean, if something is pretty severe and really needs attention directly, you know, quickly, the longer we put it off, the more comfortable we get in avoiding it. So there are actually a lot of times where people will never fully address things that maybe would be worth at least a brief conversation earlier on. And so when we just kind of push them down, it's kind of like what we do with our emotions, I think, just in general. Our natural inclination is away from pain. And I think because we were created for a world initially without pain. And so when pain comes our way, we just kind of push it down. We hope it's not going to bother us. Nobody wants to touch the stove again. unfortunately, it kind of wins the battle, but it loses the war, because those things that we don't address, if they fester, if they're kind of caught in that web of unforgiveness or resentment, they're just not going to go away. They're going to increase in intensity.
So whether it's finances or repairing a damaged relationship, and you know, all those areas that, you know, we don't want to feed or irritate or during the holidays, you know, it needs to be addressed. And every time, even gently, you go to address an issue with someone, it's not the right time. How, what is some things you can do, to revisit those and be, you know, have your kind of radar out for, okay, this is a good time. I mean, I'm sure you can understand where I'm headed.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a balance there, because if we just look at it from the vantage point of, okay, what is going to be a time that this person is going to be receptive to what I have to share or what I need to say, we may be waiting a very long time. So in that type of scenario, I think it's important to look at it from a maybe more objective standpoint of, okay, I don't want to do it when I'm tired or another person is tired. I don't want to do it when there's maybe an extra level of stress. So what will be an optimum time to be able to approach this in a relaxed way? I have no control over how the other person responds to me. I do have control over how I approach them. Have I given myself enough time to just kind of reflect on my emotions? So I'm not just coming from the vantage point of my own reaction, but I've thought about it, prayed about it, and I'm approaching it in a calm, relaxed manner.
Yeah. And might it be a help to almost empathize with how they're feeling and to say, hey, look, I get it. It's really never a good time, because none of us enjoy doing this. The truth is we're both adults and we both see the damage that's happened in whatever area it is, finances, a conversation over politics, which maybe you just never, you know, go back to. Some things, you know, that may be the case where it's like, you know what? This is what it is, but there are some things, you know, finances, hurt, you know, a personal, thing that's happened. And just to say, I get it. It's not fun to talk about. However, especially with these, some of these things can go on for, you know, weeks, months, years, and have a history to say, it's not getting better. And the way to make it better is to go through the hard part so we can get to the good part.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, Steve, you mentioned something really important, that is really to be able to kind of dial in on what is this other person going through. I mean, typically we have a fairly good idea, maybe not always perfectly clear, of our own feelings, but I want to really understand where this person is coming from. And there's a big difference between just simply valuing our emotions or the other person's emotions and simply following them, letting them dictate everything. Because emotions can, you know, they often can lead us in ways that are not the most helpful, but we do need to value and respect, especially when another person's emotions are maybe different than what we're experiencing in regards to a situation. So I think just asking those questions, help me understand what this felt like for you or what this was like for you, can go a long way. And then being able to share our own feelings with the other person as well.
So specifically, Glenn, when it comes to marriage, and these, you know, and the same thing, these sensitive issues and areas that are difficult to talk about, and I actually relate this too also with our relationship with Christ. We can find ourselves in the doldrums, you know, and going, you know, my walk, I'm off. Right. I know this isn't right. But whether it's our walk with the Lord or our relationship with our spouse, I was going to say imagine, but imagine isn't the word, because it was real at one time, that joy we had, you know, when our heart fluttered. How do we How do we get back to capturing that? Is that possible?
I think voicing the fact that you would like to experience that. We did experience it. It's not that it was absent from our relationship. We did experience it. Maybe I've drifted some in regards to how we're communicating. So you don't want to put it on the other person like, okay, well, you're the one who's moved, but maybe I've drifted some. I really want to get that spark back, that emotional delight back. And just even asking that other person, asking that spouse, just what their thoughts might be. Have they missed some of the closeness we've had? And not getting caught up. I mean, if a spouse maybe responds like, yeah, boy, you know, you really have been, you know, absent. It's real easy to get defensive to that. But just, again, really listening to their heart well, maybe coming up with some plans as far as how we can reconnect. I think one great reconnector is just the aspect of affirmation. Mm. If I can think about some things that I appreciate about my wife and can give voice to those, that's going to, just by its very nature, encourage her to be more inclined to want to spend more time with me, want to encourage me. So it's kind of that mutual enjoyment that kind of ricochets back and forth in a positive direction as people are able to feel that they're affirmed, they're loved, they're valued, and their spouse wants to spend time with him or her.
You know, if you know me any length of time, you'll find that I really enjoy illustrations often related to sports or, and this will be loosely related, but when I think about mending a relationship, like a marriage relationship in these areas, I compare it to, this just came up like 2 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought, man, this is a lot like, putting on the pounds and getting to a point where you're not as healthy as you once were or could be. And when you decide to make a change, how do you eat the elephant? Well, it's one bite at a time. You don't start by going, all right, well, tomorrow I'm back at the gym benching 300, and in the marriage relationship, or really you can relate it to any relationship in different ways. But for instance, okay, so I'm going to purpose every day to kiss my wife, good morning, or hey, I missed you this morning, to show that affection, I noticed this about you or this about something you did and how much I appreciate it, and purposing to do things that are proactive towards mending a relationship, and then practice makes permanent.
No, I think that's a great point, Steve. Just it all goes back to seventh grade for me with Coach Holthus, our basketball coach, and I just remember a couple of the plays. I still kind of have in my mind what those plays are, but when play number two is called out or play number one. But he practiced it beforehand with us, where he had us on the court. Hey, Lutchins, you're over here. Smith, you're over here. Jones, you're over here. And then he gave us a basketball, but still no defense. And then it was a defense, but it was a practice defense. So that by Friday afternoon at game time, hopefully we had some brain memory that when play number one was called, we all knew exactly what to do. A lot of times in marriage, when people are looking at developing new patterns, they're kind of waiting until game time, so to speak, in order to put them into, in order to practice it. And at that point, you're not going to have the brain memory. You're going to have the brain memory for the old pattern, but not the new one. So, practicing it even in those calm moments and just developing that step by step. You can always add a new step to your goals. It's a lot harder to come up with a major idea of what you're going to do, and then because of life and busyness and stuff, you're not meeting it, and then it's just real easy to see it or interpret it as a failure. So if we do it step by step, you can always add to it, and the more comfortable you become with it, the more you can add to it, and it really works in a positive direction.
Right. And I would say in a relationship with Christ, it's different in that no matter how many steps you take away from the cross, it's only one step back. But when it comes to things like weight and relationship, often you know, the next day, you're not going to be right back, you know. So it takes time. And in relation to the practice, you know, if we're neglecting to perform well, to practice well, then we're setting up a permanent situation of poor performance. Mm-hmm. So don't feel the pressure of getting it all right tomorrow. Right. As I mentioned earlier, you know, find that one area, work on that. Okay, now that's permanent. Now add something mm-hmm. to it. And before right. you know it, things will, you know, hopefully be in a better place. As we put a bow on this, Glenn, any closing thoughts you want to let the listener know?
You know, I think just one important element in it is just humility. So much of Scripture talks about the negative impact spiritually of pride, but it also has a relational impact. So when a person is able to really identify even their weaknesses, not in a self-deprecating or condemning way, but just acknowledging, here's an area that I really want to work on. I just think a spouse, we tend to view that negatively, but when we see it in other people, when we see a humble heart, for me, that just excites me about the person, that they're not viewing themselves in a higher than they are perspective. And there's just a humbleness that really goes a long way when it comes to strengthening a
relationship. Well, Glenn Letchins has been our guest, and Glenn is a licensed marriage and family therapist, 30 years now with focus yeah. on the family. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Glenn, we look forward to having you on another time. Thank you so much for your time. And hey, let's get to good practice here in the next few days.
Very good. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.